Good morning. Welcome, all of you who are listening online with us this morning. Before we jump into some worship and time in the Word this morning, just a couple announcements to fill you in on a few happenings here for us at Avalon Community Church. We did send out an email, and we have posted this information and more information than what I'll share here this morning with you on our web, so you can check that out there at avaloncommunitychurch.org. But a couple things. If you are not connected right now in a small group, we just encourage you to reach out to both Andrew Hobbs or Carol Herbst. We are starting to roll out our small groups through our Google Hangout kind of video chat rooms that we are doing. Our men's group's been doing that for a few weeks with some success. We're starting to get our other small groups up and running again. It's just a great way to be catching up with each other and seeing each other's faces, which we may not have seen except for maybe a few encounters in the store or our post office and et cetera. So, but we do want to keep us growing in the Word besides these messages that are important from week to week. And so reach out to them, and they will show you the steps of how to get connected into that. Just a reminder, our food bank is, man, it's up and going. We've had about 100 and I think almost 150 people serve this last Wednesday. And so it's definitely growing in this great time of need right now. And so there's ways to give into that, both bringing food and dropping it in those bins right out in front of the teen center. Or you can give both either through the city and or Avalon Community Church to our food bank fund. And we just take that and we just roll that out into those different food needs. We're giving varieties of food that goes out in a couple bags to each of the families and individuals that are coming in for those needs from week to week. And so keep that in prayer. And if you do want to serve, if you're able to come out and serve, the team that is doing that works pretty hard on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, getting those things prepared and then going out on Wednesdays to the community. So you can reach out to Reed or to Dan Hunke and Nia, or just come and maybe peek your head in on those days and see how you can serve. Also, our church staff, our pastors, obviously are almost busier than ever during this time of crisis in our nation and in our community. We are reaching out, trying to stay connected with all of you and praying and offering, obviously, the services and other studies and prayer times. So pray with us. We're looking for the Lord's provision through this stretch. We know many have come on hard times, but we just remind you of ways to give online at avaloncommunitychurch.org, or you can mail checks to Avalon Community Church at P.O. Box 98, Avalon, California, 90704. We are continuing to be trying to be those feet and hands on the ground. And so we just look for how God will provide for those needs for our staff and for this community as we go forward. So let's keep that in prayer. We are a little bit behind in giving, as you can expect during this time. But God's been good. And so far, everyone's been paid this month and the bills are caught up. But we just keep that before you in prayer as we tread ahead in these uncertain times ahead of us. So with all of that, stay connected. Make sure you check on our web from time to time. We try to post updated information there. And again, get connected with the body. If you're not staying week to week connected with people on phone or FaceTime, try to get connected to one of these small groups this week. And as we get ready now for going into Word, let's join in worship. Let's just lift our voices. Let's lift our attention to Him. Let's come and honor His name today.
of grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. When I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the seas. Should I ever need remind how I've been set free? There is a cross that bears a burden another died for me. There is another in the fire. All my dead left for dead beneath the waters. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. Should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning? Either way, I won't bow to the things of this world. I know I will never be alone. There was a ladder in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding the power set me free? There is a grave that holds nobody. None is powerless in me. There is another in the fire. There is no other name but the name that is Jesus. He who was and still is and will be through it all. So come what may in the space between all the things unseen and this reckoning, I know I will never be.
Could you be? Lord, I just ask that in this time of heartfelt need, Lord, that we are all in, just all over the world, not just in our own little homes, but we pray, Father, a prayer of thanksgiving, just to say thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being the almighty, ever faithful, all-knowing God that you are. Thank you for the examples that you set for us in Scripture and the proof that we have in our own personal lives, as in our own personal testimonies of your faithfulness and the fact that you are with us and you promise us that you will never leave us or forsake us. Thank you for these promises. Thank you for the truth of who you are. Thank you that we can count it joy in this battle right now. We love you and we come before you with open hearts and open minds as we listen to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, or good afternoon, good evening, whenever it is that you've chosen to tune in and listen. We're glad you did. And we want to thank you for being faithful to our Lord and joining us here at Avalon Community Church. My name is Pastor Ron. I'm a teaching pastor here at ACC. And I miss you guys. I miss you all. And I love you all. And I long to be with you all so much. And soon, very soon, this will all be over. And we can again share in God's love and show the world that we truly are followers of Jesus Christ. Show the world by our love. And this morning, we're going to be talking about anchors. And we're going to be talking about the importance of being properly anchored. And I know what you're all thinking. There goes Pastor Ron off on one of his nautical trips again. Well, it's true, though. Anchors and proper anchoring is an important part of any nautical trip, whether we're on a 20-foot sloop or we're on a 500-foot cruise ship. Amen? It's true, believe me. But before we leave the dock and sail off on this journey into God's Word, please join me in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing us to this special day. And even though we're not gathered together in the flesh, help us to join together in you, in Christ, in spirit, by your Holy Spirit. And open our hearts, open our minds to hear what you have to tell us and see how it fits into your plan, God. So we go from here and then help build your kingdom and give you and your Son, of course, all the glory. We pray it in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Eric Larson's book, Isaac's Storm, which was written in the year 2000, it's a fascinating book about the hurricane that hit Galveston in 1900. One of the book's main plot lines is about how everyone was convinced a hurricane could never strike Galveston, even as one was approaching. The author vividly describes how, as the streets began to flood, people went about their business as if nothing was wrong, and children played in the water. Men gathered for breakfast at the local diner. No one fled from the storm that was about to strike. Nobody seemed to worry, to care. Well, many didn't worry, because Isaac Klein, the National Weather Service officer in Galveston, assured them that it would not be a severe storm. And others simply believed that Galveston was invincible. Some thought that since they'd never seen a hurricane strike Galveston, that one never could or would. So for a number of reasons, people assured themselves nothing bad would happen. And as a result, over 6,000 people died early on the morning of September 9th in 1900. And yes, there's a lesson to be learned. There's a moral to that story. We need to take storms seriously. We don't know it all. We need to take storms seriously. And we need to take the storm that we're in seriously. And I'm glad that many are, that most are, because it's helping the storm to be, number one, less severe, and hopefully not as long as it would if we didn't take it seriously. Yes, today we're living in stormy times. And we also see storm clouds forming on the horizon in the future, all because of sinful disease for now. And in the future, this moral and spiritual decline that continues to erode our national culture. And we need to take heed. We need to take the storm that's coming seriously. The warning signs are there for us to see. Signs of Jesus coming soon. Signs that beckon us to return to the Lord, to seek refuge in Him. And we need to ask ourselves, how will history look back on what we did as the storms approached? Huh? Were we ready or not? The Apostle Paul knew all about storms. He had one stormy life, but he also had a relationship with the weatherman, God. And God gave him weather reports that Paul could count on. He didn't relieve him from storms. No, he still led a stormy life, but he got weather reports that he could count on. Let me read for you one of the storms that Paul was actually in, and it was an actual storm. Acts chapter 27, verses 13 through 19. Acts 27, verse 13. Now when the south wind blew gently, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete close to the shore. But soon a tempestuous wind called a nor'easter struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, it gave way to it and was driven along. Running under the lee of a small island, Quauda, we managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat. And after hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. And then, fearing that they would run aground on the Cirrus, another island, they lowered their gear, and thus they were driven along. Since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to jettison the cargo, and on the third day they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay upon us, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. And since they'd been without food for a long time, Paul stood up and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, only the loss of the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of the God whom I belong, the God whom I worship, and he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul, for you must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. And so take heart, man, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I've been told. But we must run aground on some island.' And when the 14th night had come, as we were driven across the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors suspected that they were nearing land. So they took a sounding and found 20 fathoms. A little farther on, they took a sounding again and found 15 fathoms. And fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down four anchors from the stern, and they prayed for day to come." And all God's people said, "Amen." Wow. Well, we just read about one of the many storms that the Apostle Paul experienced during his life. His life as a follower of Jesus Christ. And there definitely is more to this story, to his story, than just this one storm. For example, if we turn to the second letter that Paul wrote to those in Corinth, 2 Corinthians, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 to 27, details of his stormy life. How stormy that life actually was. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. "From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often in peril of waters, in peril of robbers, in peril of my own countrymen, in peril of the Gentiles, in peril in the city, in peril in the wilderness, in peril in the sea, in peril among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. Now that's some life. And as we see in the life of Paul, there are no guarantees that our lives will be storm-free. We need to be ready for them. Yeah, they may surprise us. They may surprise us in timing as to the when, and they may surprise us in strength as to what I call the wow. The when and the wow be very surprising. Okay, but what about the how? How can we prepare? The how of being prepared for storms. What can we do to prepare? Well, there are 3 points we want to look at today. 3 things that Acts 27 shows us that will help us to be prepared for the storms that are coming. And the first one is, when the storms are coming, don't just depend on earthly wisdom. Don't just depend on earthly wisdom. Chapter 27, Acts 27, verses 17 through 19 says, after hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. And then, fearing that they would run aground on Syrtis, they lowered the gear, and thus they were driven along. Since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to jettison the cargo, and on the 3rd day they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. And when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. Beloved, as a follower of Jesus Christ, one of the most difficult things to do when going through a storm is resisting the temptation to handle our storms only in the way that we think they should be handled, based on what little experience we may have had, or what little experience others have had that tell us how to act during storms, how to prepare. We may feel like we need to handle our financial storms the way our CPA advises us and file for bankruptcy. We may feel like we need to handle our marital storms like our parents did and file for divorce. We may feel like we need to handle the storms of our job or at our job like our best friend did and just quit. But beloved, there is another way. There is another way. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. He will direct your paths. If we try to survive the storms of our lives based on our human wisdom, our lack of experience, we'll only see human results. So for best results, let God, who is in control, let him be in control. Here's another truth. We need a guide, not guidance. We need a guide, not just guidance. I opened a concordance to look up the word guidance, expecting to find a long list of verses promising biblical guidance from God. And yet it wasn't there. Guidance wasn't there. But the word guide was, and it was in a big way, with most of the verses promising that God himself would be the guide of his people. God would be our guide. That makes sense. For an example, people who are blind need guide dogs, not guidance dogs. Imagine if dogs were capable of talking, how unsatisfactory it would be if they were mere bystanders shouting warnings to the blind from a distance. Careful now. You're close to a hole, or, you know, watch out for that curb. Instead of actually physically guiding them along, as guide dogs do best. And that leads us then to point number two. When the storms are coming, do depend on divine wisdom. So point number one, don't depend just on human wisdom. Point number two, do depend on divine wisdom. Again, Acts 27, this time verses 21 to 25. Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. But now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, only the loss of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong, to whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. They will be safe. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God. I believe that it will be just as it was told me.'" Wow. You know, Paul wasn't a sailor. He was a friend of sailors. He actually was a sail maker. He was a canvas worker. And that's what he did most of the time for livelihood, to pay for his food, to pay for his stay. But he knew sailors. And even though he didn't know much about what to do when a ship was in the middle of a storm, he trusted the sailors who knew better. But Paul was a follower also of Jesus Christ, and so he knew exactly what to do when his life was in the middle of the storm. What Jesus did, listen to God. Stay close to God the Father. Listen to those whom he sends as well. We read here that Paul was sent an angel. An angel was sent to Paul with a very important message of, hey, don't be afraid, you know. You're going to make it. You're going to make it to Caesar's. And nobody's going to perish. Trust me. Because trusting me, the angel said, is trusting God. Angels, in the Greek, it's angelos. What's the definition of an angelos in the Greek? A messenger. Yes, it's a messenger with a message from God, which is a message that we can trust. Direction from God. James, the writer of the book of James, tells us in his book, chapter 3, James chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, wisdom that comes from below man is sensual, it's demonic, it's filled with envy and jealousy, and it produces confusion, and every evil thing will be present. But wisdom from above, from God, is pure and peaceful and gentle, willing to yield and full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Amen. The truth is, God will never mislead us. He will never mislead us. He loves us too much to mislead us. The wisdom that comes from above can be trusted at all times. And God will always be with us. No storm could ever block him from seeing us or being with us, and therefore guiding us along. So point number three, when a storm's coming, have anchors ready. We need to have anchors ready. Acts 27, verse 29. And fearing that we might run on the rocks, the sailors let down four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. So these sailors dropped four anchors to help stabilize the ship, to stop the ship and keep it from going on the rocks, and to stabilize the ship, to keep it from perhaps capsizing. So that they could survive then this terrible storm. They could ride it out. Now, where do we suppose those anchors were were stored? Were they stored below decks? Or do you think they might have been ready on the decks? Well, where do we find all the anchors on boats around here, around Avalon Bay, the anchorages of the Avalon, and especially the cruise ships? We can see them right there in the bow. If you look, you can probably see them on the stern as well, but right there in the bow, stationed at the ready, ready to drop. These sailors had attempted everything else. And their last resort was to try and stop the ship and stabilize the ship with the anchors and thereby weather the storm. And similarly, and symbolically, I believe there are four anchors that every follower of Jesus Christ needs to have at the ready, needs to have in their life ready. They need to know how to use these anchors prior to the storm being there, if they hope to weather the storms that'll come. And the first storm is what we see in verse 29. The prayer anchor, or the first anchor, I'm sorry. The prayer anchor. Whenever a storm comes our way, let's not let prayer be the last thing that we do. Let's begin a policy of protective prayer before we even hear of storms, yet alone see them on the horizon. Because then storms can never surprise us. Then storms will never defeat us. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3 says, Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not even know. And all God's people said, amen. We need that type of guidance from that guide, our chief guide. So yes, we need the prayer anchor ready and well practiced in it. We also need the fellowship anchor, which is hard today, but thank God for social media. Too often I see Christians make the mistake of pulling away from the church whenever things are getting tough, whenever they're going through a storm. And Satan knows that if he can get us separated from the rest of the body, then we're an easy target for him. So he, yes, will create storms. He will help make our life stormy. That is a guarantee. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the Living Bible. It says, let's not neglect our church meetings as some people do, but let's encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing close, is getting near. So yes, we need to continue together, and I sure hope that we are able to do that soon. But until we are, let's gather together as best we can. And thank goodness we have the social media that we do have. Thirdly, the faithfulness anchor. Another tragic decision that some folks make is that they stop being faithful to what God has called them to when things get tough, as well as coming to church. Now, don't abandon God, because God will never abandon you. Even in a storm, he is there. Trust that. Trust him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Some say the best way to get around suffering is to actually help others who are suffering out. I find that to be true. Don't stop loving others. Continue in the faith. Continue being faithful. And the last one is the hope anchor. The hope anchor. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 4 says, but he who is joined with all the living has hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. All right, that's a little harsh. I'm sure we find Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, a little more comforting, where the writers of the book of Hebrews says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner peace, the inner place behind the curtain, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have this sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. That is Jesus. Our hope is Jesus, and He is that sure and steadfast anchor that we need, especially in times of storms. You know, the title of this message is Hope, Our Anchor is Ready. Now, we can look at that in a couple of different ways. We can look at it kind of like as, well, I hope our anchor is ready. Or we could look at it with a couple of commas in the right place. Hope, comma, our anchor, comma, is ready. In other words, we know our hope is Jesus Christ. We know that He is our anchor. We are connected with Him, so our anchor is ready. No matter what the times bring, no matter how stormy, hope, our anchor, is ready, and Jesus is our hope. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 25, again, the Living Bible says, disaster strikes like a cyclone, and the wicked are whirled away, but the good man has a strong anchor. Will we make it through this current storm? Will we make it through any storm? Well, the answer is yes. The answer is a positive yes, we will. If we remember that we don't depend on earthly wisdom, we do depend on divine wisdom, and that we do have our anchors ready. What anchors? The prayer anchor, the fellowship anchor, the faithfulness anchor, and our hope anchor, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank You for raising Your Son from the dead. We thank You for the love that You showed to us through this amazing miracle, and thank You for the love shown since, and that will always be shown, and that we can trust in always, whether times are good, whether times are stormy. Through the love and the power displayed at the resurrection, we can and we will make it through any and every storm. So, again, thank You, Father, for Your love. Help us to continue to show that same love to You forever and ever. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.
You go before, I know that You've even gone to win my war, and You come back with a head of my enemy. You come back and You call it my victory. We found the drive. was worship. And all I did was bow down. And I'm just gonna stay still.
My praise to you, Lord, my God. All my days I will worship. God of grace, your love touched my heart, yet I am weak to follow, 'cause my wandering heart needs you to help me, 'cause my
Thank you. Father, you truly are so gentle in how you treat our lives. You care so deeply that we would lean on you, trust you. You are that anchor, especially in a time like this. And our hearts and our souls wander when you usher us back in like the good shepherd. I just pray you do that over your people today where they sit, that they could feel the anchor and the hope and the security in you, an assuredness in our hearts that we sense we're good because you have got us. Lord, help us to depend and walk in each moment of our lives that way. And as things begin to wander in our thoughts and our hearts, Lord, capture that and yield and bring that back in. Just bring that back in into your great trust, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for the word this morning. We thank you for your guiding and leading. In Jesus' name, amen.